Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Superpowers, Year 1, Part 3, by Drew Hayes. Narrated by Jonathan Lee Taylor and performed by a full cast.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. I spilled my tea, accidentally tripped the waiter, and set the table on fire when I knocked over the centerpiece candles. So I don't think her family's that fond of me.
I've never thought of you as klutzy.
I'm not normally, but I was nervous about meeting my girlfriend's parents for the first time.
Nick and Vince sat in the common room, the Sunday afternoon light shining on them through the windows. All the parents but Herschel's had departed. He was saying goodbye to Mrs. Daniels in the parking lot. Alice was catching up on homework in her room, and Mary sat in a chair nearby, reading.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure her parents were just glad she was spending time with a nice guy.
They wouldn't stop mentioning a young super her uncle knew who had good coordination and exceptional powers. They kept pushing her to meet up with him for coffee next time she's in town.
Wow. They are not fans of clumsiness.
Yeah. Weird thing, though. As bad as last night went, Sasha was really affectionate when she kissed me goodnight.
You really are clueless, buddy. Do me a favor. Think real hard about why a girl with pink hair might actually be happy to find out the guy she's with isn't well-liked by her parents. When you come up with a theory, get back to me.
I don't see why her hair is important, but okay.
The sound of the front door opening interrupted them as Herschel walked in.
See your mom off?
Yep. It was nice to see her, but it's sort of weird having her around in this environment.
Tell me about it. Jerry's a good guy, but he was really cramping my style. Didn't want to hit any strip clubs or anything.
We all got through their visits without any terrible incidents or blown secret identities, so I think we can chalk this weekend up as a win.
I'd wait to hear Vince's story about dinner with Sasha's parents before you make that claim.
That bad?
I'm 70% sure they tried to sneak out and ditch me when I went to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bad.
What about you? Roy didn't get your mom into a biker brawl or tossed in jail or something?
Roy loves her mom. They spent the afternoon touring little shops downtown. He's a good son when she's around.
Huh. Well, fellows, we only have a little bit of weekend left. Anyone up for video games in the boys' lounge?
Normally, I'd say no. But with everyone gone, I caught up on all my homework already, so why not?
Sweet. Herschel?
I'll join you guys in a few minutes. I have to take care of something real quick.
Cool deal.
Vince pulled himself up from the couch. He and Nick headed into the boys' area, the steel door locking firmly shut behind them. Herschel wasn't good at these sorts of things. That is to say, brave things. He preferred to let Roy handle that. Herschel was the brain and the heart. Roy was the brawn and the guts. It wasn't a perfect arrangement, but it had worked for many years. There was a flaw in that system, though. It didn't account for when Herschel needed bravery for something only he could do.
It's all Mom's fault. She put the idea in my head. Have been able to stop thinking about it all weekend.
By the time Herschel's mother had kissed his cheek goodbye, he had come to the undeniable realization that she was right. He had to make a choice. And even if he did nothing, he now knew that was a choice in itself. Herschel walked over to the chair where Mary was sitting.
Mary.
Yes?
She looked up at him and set the book on her lap.
I was wondering if you would like to go out sometime to do something with me, if you wanted.
Mary arched an eyebrow.
Could you elaborate?
Herschel's stomach began gurgling. He scented a mental note that it could complain and vomit in stress all it wanted in 5 minutes. But for now, it should please shut the fuck up.
I want to take you on a date.
Herschel's eyes widened slightly. That was more straightforward than he'd been shooting for. Still, it was out there now. A slow smile crept across Mary's face.
I like that. What did you have in mind?
Just dinner on Friday, off campus around 7?
Works for me. It's a date.
Awesome. I mean, cool. It'll be fun. Yeah, I'm gonna go play video games with Nick and Vince now, but I'll see you on Friday.
We live in the same dorm. I'll see you before then.
Right.
Then, in an act of wisdom well beyond his years, Herschel immediately retreated to the boys' lounge before he could say anything stupid and mess things up. For her own part, Mary waited until she was sure Herschel was in the other room before bolting out of her chair and dashing into the girl's side to tell Alice what had just happened. Interestingly enough, both sides had similar reactions to the news.
About freaking time.
So, you finally did it.
Nick slapped Herschel on the back.
What gave you the kick in the pants?
Something my mom said, actually.
Make me grandbabies or don't bother coming back?
Nah, she just pointed out that it wasn't going to get easier, and the longer I waited, the worse my chances got.
Good for you. I bet you two will have a great time. What are you planning?
Just dinner, someplace kind of nice, probably.
Classic start. Then what?
I don't know. Digesting?
Right. Let me get this straight. You've been trying to ask this girl out for months. You finally got up the courage, and she agreed to be your date for an evening, and you don't plan to do anything besides go to dinner and come back?
Sounds really lame when you say it.
I can't imagine why.
Nick shook his head.
Herschel, I don't know much about women. I know they like chocolate, shoes, and movies that induce crying. I know they get offended if you ask if their behavior is due to a regular monthly occurrence. And I know that some of them get a little violent if you try to give them an innocent nickname.
Sugar tits isn't what I'd call innocent.
Stay on subject, Silver. My point is that I know precious few things. But one of those is that a woman expects to be wooed on a first date. Assuming you want there to be a second.
I would very much like there to be a second one.
Then we better get brainstorming, boys. Because a girl like Mary is gonna take a lot more than a chicken parmesan and some kind words to win over.
So where do you think he'll take you?
I'm not sure. Someplace nice, I'm sure, but hopefully not too fancy. I'm a pretty simple girl. I think Herschel knows that.
Alice nodded her head in agreement.
He seems to be less thick-headed than the other men we're surrounded by.
They might surprise you. Some of them are actually quite sharp.
I'm sure.
Normally, Alice would have brushed off the comment as Mary being good-natured. Now, though, she found herself thinking about Nick's transformation. Even if he could lie that well, there was no way he could keep it from Mary's telepathy. She had to have some inkling of what was going on behind those sunglasses. But this wasn't the time to ask about it. Right now was about Mary.
Any clues on where he'll take you after dinner?
After?
Yeah. I mean, he asked you on a date. You don't think he's planning on just driving to get food, then coming back and saying bye, do you?
Yeah, sorta.
Ah, see, dates usually consist of more than just food. At least first ones do, anyway. It's the guy's chance to really show you how awesome he is, so they love doing it up big.
I see. I suppose that doesn't seem so bad. You know a lot about dates.
Only secondhand. The few times I ever went out with a guy were formal dinners, where my dad wanted me to charm the son of some CEO or king. They were prearranged events with chaperones, and the guys were always boring as hell.
That bites.
It did. But who cares? Those days are long since past. Now, let's focus on you. Have you picked an outfit yet?
I was thinking the peach-colored dress.
You know, that would work nicely.
Mary couldn't suppress her relief.
As a start.
A start?
Sure. It's a base layer. Dressing up is all about picking a base, then building tasteful accessories on top of it. Don't worry. We've got nearly a week to play around with all kinds of combinations. By the time Friday night gets here, we'll have gone through every conceivable outfit and picked out the absolute best one.
Oh, joy.
We've ruled out comedy clubs, movies, miniature golf, and strip clubs. Though the last was under extreme protest.
It's a touch of daring and adventure. Plus, it puts the sex question right on the table. It's perfect.
It's done, Nick. Let it go. We're on to new suggestions now.
I'm running dry. You and Sasha have been together for a while now. What kind of first date did you take her on?
I just did dinner. This whole wooing thing is news to me too.
Wait, you just did dinner?
Herschel turned to Nick.
If he got away with it, why can't I?
Several reasons. For one, the whole lovable clueless guy thing works for Vince.
I'm not clueless.
Whatever you say, Cupcake. Anyway, you don't have that type of charm, Herschel. You're a smart, good-hearted guy. That means you're expected to do your research and put in some real effort.
I guess I can see that.
Secondly, ask yourself something. This is your first date with a girl you really like. Do you want to get away with half-assing it, or do you want to leave her speechless?
Okay. Point taken. I have to do more than just dinner. But we still haven't answered the question of what?
I keep telling you guys, there's a gentleman's club south of town with very reasonable steak prices on Friday nights.
Still no on that one.
I think you have to ask yourself less of what you'd like to do, and more of what Mary would enjoy. It's about impressing her, so it needs to be something she'd have fun doing.
Carnival?
That would actually work, if there were any going on right now.
Damn. This is a lot harder than I thought it would be. Roy always makes dating seem so effortless.
That's because Roy doesn't care, so he doesn't put in effort. That's another type of charm, though. Again, one you don't have.
Relax, Herschel. You've got till Friday. I'm sure you'll think of something.
And if you don't, there's always steak and tits. Just saying.
Mary returned home from class on Tuesday to find Mr. Numbers setting up a chessboard in the common room.
Is it Saturday already?
Mr. Numbers shook his head.
Well, we missed our weekend game. I thought we might play today instead.
Mary paused for a moment, set down her bag, and sat down on the chair opposite Mr. Numbers.
Why not?
In the time they had been playing, Mary had been slowly growing better. She had been lasting a move or two longer each game so far. Though Mr. Numbers anticipated her progress would reach a plateau within another 5 games. She made the opening move, followed by Mr. Numbers.
So, what's on your mind?
Mary shifted her knight's position.
Just the game?
Now, I think we both know that's a lie.
Listening in?
Not during our games, no. But I've heard you long enough to know you're a creature of habit, and you would rather miss a game than reschedule it.
True. Mr. Transport and I have been entertaining the idea of another project, one that would require assistance from you and Nick.
I should warn you, I'm still putting extra blankets on my bed and drinking hot tea from the last project you two hatched.
It's nothing like that. This one would be entirely harmless and universally beneficial.
I'm sure.
Are you willing to hear me out?
Yes, if for no other reason, then I'd rather be forewarned and forearmed.
Mr. Numbers carefully ran through the plan Mr. Transport had presented to him some days before. He was careful to include every detail and be absolutely truthful. Even if Mary really wasn't listening in right now, that didn't mean she wouldn't be checking in on him in time to come.
I like it, and I'm on board for it, but I can't speak for Nick, though.
I dare say no one would claim such an ability.
Maybe, maybe not. Either way, you'll need him.
I was unfortunately certain you would say that.
You're good at what you do. Anything else I should know?
Indeed.
Mr. Numbers moved his bishop and sprang the trap he'd laid.
Checkmate.
Did you distract me with your plan just to beat me?
Don't be silly. It was a necessary conversation, and I don't need cheap ploys to beat you.
Yet.
Mr. Numbers looked down at the small, unassuming girl and the confident look in her eyes. His brain buzzed, assessing the multiple factors he'd gleaned about her. Her ambition, her determination, her aptitude, and her focus.
Yet.
Later that night, Nick was relaxing in the common room and flipping through television stations when a flash of blonde hair in a pink dress dropped onto the couch next to him.
Can I help you?
What? Can a girl sit down and watch some TV with her friend?
That depends. Is there a reason she needs to do it right next to him as opposed to one of the many other scenic locations?
He gestured at the empty common room and the abundance of available seats within it.
Oh, no.
I think proximity is very important. It fosters deep intellectual conversations. Conversations about new developments and what those new developments might be doing this weekend.
You want to know where Herschel's taking Mary on Friday.
I've always told people how smart you were.
Liar.
True. But I still want to know. So spill it.
And why would I betray the secrecy of my dear friend for the curiosity of a girl who repeatedly hits me?
Well...
Alice leaned forward slightly.
Maybe because a gesture like that would make her feel more affable toward you. Maybe she'd show you a softer, kinder side.
Yeah, not buying it.
Fine. Then how about because she's right next to you with her hand in punching range of your crotch?
Now see that? That, I believe.
Nick shifted his legs slightly to provide cover.
Even if I wanted to tell you, though, I can't. Last I checked, Herschel doesn't even know what he's gonna do with Mary after dinner.
That sucks. He better think of something soon. Mary's looking forward to a night out.
I'm sure our little nerd will come through. Plus, Vince and I offered him a few helpful suggestions.
Please. You probably suggested something stupid, like taking her to a strip club.
I would never. I can't believe you think so little of me.
Uh-huh. Whatever you say, stud. Let me know if he tells you anything.
Alice got up from the couch.
No promises, but if it's interesting, I might seek you out.
That's probably as good as I'm getting out of you. Ugh. I'm gonna go work on some chemistry. Night, Nick.
Night, Alice.
Nick gave her a perfunctory wave. Once the door to the girls' lounge was closed, though, worry descended on Nick's face.
She's getting too comfortable around me. Too familiar. That could be problematic. The last thing I need right now is romance.
Nick flipped out his cell phone and selected a number from his contact list. This wasn't the first time dealing with a situation like this. He knew very well that they could often be resolved with a single phone call. The concrete crunched under the forceful impact of Roy's body crashing against it.
Getting tired? That last one lacked your usual flair.
Did it? I'll be sure to make up the difference on this next one.
I appreciate it.
Roy pulled himself vertically.
I'm not here for the B course after all.
It was then that Chad did something that Roy hadn't seen from him thus far. Something that, to his knowledge, no one had ever witnessed. Chad laughed.
You know, for all your flaws, you've got tenacity. It's refreshing. Even after all these weeks, I started thinking there was no one who could take my strength and keep coming.
And all this from a guy you thought wasn't even worthy to fight you.
Indeed. It almost makes me wish you were on my level. Fighting someone with your resolve at a higher skill level would benefit me greatly.
Then you take this as a Roy Daniels promise. When I'm stronger than you, I'll still be your sparring partner.
I appreciate the intent. But you do know that you'll never be better than I am, don't you?
I know that you think that.
Roy charged forward, his left arm swinging at Chad's head. Chad easily stepped to the side, caught Roy's arm, and wrenched it around to his back.
With moves like that, you'll be lucky to even land a blow on me before the year's end.
Chad expected Roy to make another witty comment before he swept his legs out from under him and dropped him to the ground. Chad was taken by surprise. He was behind Roy, pulling Roy's left arm to his back. It should have hurt him, yes, but not like that. Chad wondered if his continuous beatings had somehow left lasting nerve damage that the healers hadn't gotten. It was only a half second of doubt and confusion, but almost instantly, Chad realized what it had cost him. The fingers of Roy's right hand wrapped around Chad's left bicep. Chad felt the arm in his grip dangle weightlessly, his hold no longer effective as Roy turned around to face him.
You ripped your entire left arm out of its socket?
And screamed loud enough to distract you while I did it. For guys with our kind of strength, it's hard to tell the difference between regular struggling and bone-shattering effort. All feels the same weighted against our power.
He was right. Chad had felt him bucking against his grip, but Chad had assumed it was merely his usual boisterous escape attempts.
Good point. Now what, though? Your left arm is useless. And you know I'll break that grip you have on me in no time. You still can't win.
Newsflash, Blondie. I'm not trying to win.
In one motion, Roy jerked Chad forward, digging his hand deep into the arm and pulling forward with all his weight. Chad braced himself for a throw, reaching out for Roy's shoulder to stop it before he was airborne.
Dodge, fucker!
Roy slammed his head directly into Chad's temple. The world dissolved into static, and Chad's head swam in pain. He wasn't so far gone that he forgot his years of experience, though. And by the time his vision cleared, he had placed Roy back on the concrete with considerable force.
You lose. Yet again.
Roy coughed up blood from the ground.
Yeah, I do. But I hit you.
Chad felt a soft trickle of blood run down his cheek. He sealed the cut on the side of his head immediately, but there was no denying the damage that had been dealt.
You tore your arm out of its socket and sacrificed every advantage just to land one blow?
Damn right.
Roy pushed himself up to standing. He faced Chad once more, right arm pulled into a fighting position, left arm dangling uselessly at his side.
That was an insane gamble.
It wasn't just some gamble. I've been paying attention. I watched your style all these weeks, and I knew if I ran at you, you'd put me in a lock before dropping me. I had a feeling you'd defend against the throw over a headbutt, too.
What made you assume that?
You fight with polish and tactics, and you always go for the win. People like you defend like the other guy has the same thing in mind. It would never occur to you that I'd be going for a headbutt instead of trying to toss you out the circle and win.
Because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But it worked.
Chad shook his head.
I suppose it did. So, you finally hit me, Roy. Now what?
Now, I go for two.
Roy flexed his right hand and cracked his knuckles.
All right, then. Whenever you're ready.
How do I look?
Nick made a twirling motion with his hand, and Herschel slowly spun around in place. He was wearing a hunter green button-down shirt, khaki pants, and loafers. It wasn't the most fashionable outfit, but for a guy who wore shirts with dice on them, it was definitely a step up.
You look great.
Almost perfect.
Nick stepped forward and slightly adjusted the angle at which Herschel's shirt was tucked in. Neither Herschel nor Vince could see any difference when Nick stepped back. However, he seemed quite pleased with himself.
And there. Now you're ready for a night on the town, lady killer.
Ugh, you and your nicknames. Let's go over this list again. You have your wallet, your cell phone, Nick's keys.
Check, check, and check. And thanks again for the loan.
I can't let you take a classy girl like Mary out on Roy's motorcycle. She deserves better than that.
Agreed.
Just be safe with my car. I don't want to go back to walking my happy ass everywhere.
Will do.
So, did you think of a good place to take Mary after dinner?
Sort of. I don't know if she'll like it, but it's all I could think of, so I guess it has to work.
Any hints on what the brave act of desperation is?
Nothing personal, but I want it to be a surprise. Mary doesn't read my thoughts, but she hasn't made any promises about you guys.
Fair point. And I think that's everything. You ready to pick up your date?
Dear God, no.
Herschel clasped his hands to keep them from trembling.
But let's go ahead anyway.
Attaboy.
Nick threw his arm around Herschel's shoulders as they left the boys' lounge toward the entrance to the common room.
By the way, I left a box of condoms in the glove box, just in case.
What happened to treating a classy girl right?
Hey, I'm not making any judgments. I just know it's better to be safe than sorry.
Thanks, Nick. I think.
They walked into the common room to see Alice, standing in a guard-like fashion at the entrance of the girls' lounge. She examined Herschel critically, her expert eyes assessing his ensemble and demeanor. Evidently, Herschel passed whatever test was being performed in that blonde head, because she knocked twice on the steel door next to her.
He's here!
The door swung open. Gone was the wild-haired girl who wore capris and combat boots. In her place was a petite young lady wearing a peach dress with carefully styled hair. Her face was lightly dusted with makeup, and she was a bit taller, thanks in no small part to the heels she wore. The smile on her face was absolutely entrancing.
Hi.
Mary fidgeted slightly as she arrived in front of Herschel.
Hi. You look really nice.
You too.
Shall we head out?
Sounds great.
Mary took his arm, and the well-dressed young couple walked out the door.
That was just plain adorable.
I feel like I just watched a pair of kittens wrestling playfully. I'm not sure I like this warm feeling.
Alice swatted his arm half-heartedly.
Ah!
You're just as happy as we are that they're finally going out.
He talks a tough game, but he actually helped Herschel get his outfit together.
You got me. I'm a big old softy.
I don't know about that, but I'll give you points for loaning your car to Herschel.
He's a careful guy, and it's not like I'll be using it tonight anyway. My date's driving.
Nick glanced at his watch.
Which reminds me, I need to go change before she gets here.
And dashed off into the boys' lounge.
Ugh, that is so like him. He does one nice thing, but he puts off getting himself ready, and now some girl will have to... Wait, his what?
His date. Didn't he tell you? I guess Herschel's bold move finally put some spring into his step.
Right. So just so we're clear here, this is Nick we're talking about, right? Nick has a date?
Yeah.
With who?
Herschel was surprised at how easily his date was going. His conversation with Mary had been flowing easily, and she seemed to be genuinely enjoying herself.
The steak looks really good.
Mary glanced over the menu for the first time since they'd arrived.
It's what they're known for.
Well then, I think I'll give it a try.
She set the menu down on the table in front of her.
It's been too long since I've had a well-cooked cut of meat.
Got a carnivore streak?
I lived in the woods for a few years. Canned food can only get you so far, and a girl's gotta eat.
I bet you throw one hell of a barbecue.
You wouldn't be disappointed. Once it warms up again, that might be fun.
Yeah, it would. Maybe the school will organize one for us. They seem to be on top of those kinds of things, what with the river trip and all.
Mary wrinkled her nose.
I'm not sure if I'm going to that. Much as I miss the outdoors, the things I enjoyed most were the peace and serenity. I don't think I'm likely to find that with 30 drunk freshmen around.
Yeah, it's really not my scene, but Roy's pretty excited about it.
He has been good lately. I suppose he deserves a break here and there.
Herschel winced involuntarily at the word break.
I'd say he definitely deserves a little time to cut loose.
You're not just saying that because when he's loose, you get to share in those memories, are you?
Not at all. Roy has some fun, but I prefer making my own memories. Especially on nights like this.
Smooth answer, Mr. Daniels. Smooth answer.
Wow, this place is really nice.
Bubbles took her seat as Nick pulled out her chair for her. The restaurant wasn't actually all that classy, at least not by Nick's standards. But as he walked over to his own seat, he decided he might as well roll with it.
Just my way of saying thank you for being willing to drive tonight.
Oh, no problem. I mean, if you'd already promised your friend he could use your car, then that's how it is, and you should keep your promises. Even when it's super inconvenient, that's a promise means he'll do it no matter what.
I really need to get a fake ID.
Nick desperately wished he could order some wine.
Indeed.
Besides, it's totally worth a few minutes behind the wheel to come out to an awesome place like this with you.
A rosy blush tinted Bubbles' cheeks.
You're sweet, but I'm the lucky one. After all, I'm out with the most beautiful girl in the whole restaurant. And she's a super at that.
No way. I'm barely a super at all. I mean, yeah, I love my power and it's really cool and fun, but let's be honest here. I'm not going to be saving any babies trapped in a fire or knocking out bank robbers. When I was little, I kept thinking my power would bloom into something really cool, and then it never happened, and I was bummed for a while. But then I kind of figured it's easier to be a normal girl than a hero anyway, and that's when I got okay with it.
That's a very mature attitude. And for the record, I think it's an amazing ability. Must feel pretty awesome to be able to create something out of nothing.
It's pretty cool. I didn't use it too much first semester, though, because I was really scared of showing it to someone in the HCP and getting laughed at.
HCP? Oh, right. Lander has a program for supers.
Yeah, it's a big deal in the super community. The ones who are in it keep themselves a secret, though, so it could totally be anyone you meet on campus.
Nick raised an eyebrow.
Anyone, huh? So you're telling me I could very well be sitting with a bona fide hero in training right now?
As if. I hear that program is crazy hard anyway. I'm much happier being a regular girl with something extra special about her.
I can see the appeal there. We normal people just have to find our specialness in other places.
So, what makes you special then?
I'm spectacular at blackjack.
I've heard of that. It's the game that's like Go Fish, right?
Oh, Bubbles. I have so much to teach you.
You know, I'm really not used to surprises.
Herschel piloted the two of them around town in Nick's car.
I'd be perfectly okay with you telling me where we're going.
No way. I get to be possibly the first boy to surprise a telepath. You think there's any way I'm passing on that honor?
Honor, huh? Someone's feeling confident.
Well, it has been a good night so far. Besides, I can either be upbeat or worried. And being worried seems like it would kind of drag down the night.
You make a good point. I still want to know where we're going, though.
You will. Just as soon as we arrive.
Mary stuck her tongue out at Herschel. She really did want to know. But at no point did she ever consider reading his mind to find out. As far as Mary was concerned, tonight, she was a normal girl on a normal date.
We're here.
Mary peered out the window toward the twinkle of lights against rolling waves of darkness.
The docks?
The docks.
Herschel opened the door and stepped out. The salt air washed over him. It was a familiar, comfortable feeling.
I'd like to point out that you specifically requested I not read your mind, refused to tell me where we were going, and then drove me out to the docks at night.
Mary stepped out of the car and joined him.
Just saying, this looks a lot like the start to one of those horror movies Nick loves.
Mary, you're the strongest girl in our class. If Roy couldn't beat you, what chance do I have?
Fair point. I'd still like to know what we're doing here, though.
Herschel held out his hand.
You're going to love it, I promise.
Mary slipped hers into Herschel's, and the two began walking toward the water.
This place is so pretty. It reminds me of the woods near where I grew up, but I mean, obviously smaller and not as woodsy, but I still like it.
Bubbles and Nick had finished dinner and were walking through a local park. Unlike Herschel, Nick hadn't put a tremendous amount of effort or thought into his post-dinner activity.
I'm glad you enjoy it. I come here when I'm feeling thoughtful or far from home. The sounds of nature always make me feel centered.
Nick deftly avoided tripping over a small bump in the worn dirt path. Between the unfamiliar terrain and the sunglasses, he was having a hell of a time not tumbling all over the place. He was glad he'd visited the day before to ensure the park was well lit and fit within his desired parameters. If it were any darker, he'd have had to shed his shades.
Oh my gosh, that's so deep. I wish I did stuff like that, but when I get bored, I just go out to the club with Elray, or play racquetball, or make pasta, or watch TV, or...
We all have our own ways of dealing with stress.
Nick had learned that, when it came to Bubbles, one had to own the conversation. Or it turned into a monologue.
There's not a better or worse. It's like people. We're all unique, but that doesn't make anyone superior. Just different.
I can see that. Speaking of different, though, can I ask you something?
Of course.
Not to pry. And if it's something serious like a scar or something, I'm so sorry. But I'm really curious, and I want to know, and not that they don't look great on you, because they totally do, but why do you wear sunglasses all the time?
My eyes have a photosensitivity condition. It's not a big deal, but it means I get some pretty bad migraines if the light isn't dimmed and filtered. My lenses stop that from happening.
Oh, that totally sucks. Did something happen?
Nah, I was just born this way. Like I said, it's not a big deal. I can take them off if I need to. I just leave them on for my own comfort. After all these years, my glasses feel like a part of me.
I totally get that. I mean, I wore the same shoes for 3 years, and they were just like a part of my life. And when they finally fell apart, I didn't know what to do. And I went barefoot for like a week before I could finally feel comfy in new ones. They look good on you, though.
Well, then, I guess it's a win all around.
The sea sprayed upward, leaving a fine mist in the air that lingered on Mary's face. Her body was wrapped in a protective poncho that Herschel had stashed in Nick's trunk, keeping her clothes safe from soaking. She'd left the hood down, though, preferring to feel the air run through her hair. Herschel adjusted their course slightly, moving toward a calmer patch of water.
I can't believe I never knew you sailed.
Mary adjusted her grip on the bow of the small boat Herschel had procured.
My mom taught us when we were younger. Lake Michigan was nearby, and we'd spend our summers out on the water. It always made me feel great, so the first week we were here, I looked up a place I could get out on the water if I needed to.
And this is the first time you've used it?
Second. I came out about 3 weeks into the semester when things were getting really stressful. After you put Roy in line, life got a lot more manageable, though, so I haven't needed it.
I think I'd be out here quite a bit, need it or not.
A wave knocked against the side of the boat, and Mary shifted her grip.
Yeah, I thought the same. But things get busy and time slips away from you.
I'm glad you took me out here tonight.
I wanted it to be a special night.
Well, mission accomplished.
Herschel and Mary were the first ones back to Millbrook. They still smelled of salt water as they stepped into the common room.
So, I guess this is good night.
Looks that way. I had a really good time.
Me too. Wanna do it again sometime?
Sure.
How's next weekend work for you?
Not great.
Oh, what's wrong with it?
Just seems like a long time to spend trying to avoid you.
Guess we'll be seeing each other around a lot. I'm not really sure how to proceed from here. I'm sort of new at this.
I think we should try to do more nights like this, where it's just us on a date, and then the rest of our time together is just time spent together.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm sure we'll figure it out as we go along.
I think that's supposed to be part of the fun.
Then I'll look forward to it.
That makes two of us. Good night, Herschel.
Herschel very much wanted to kiss Mary in that moment. Instead, he pulled her in close and squeezed her tightly into a hug.
Good night, Mary.
Roy would have gone for the kiss. Of that, Herschel had no doubt. But Herschel wasn't Roy. And tonight, for the first time in a very long time, Herschel was happy about that fact. They released each other and parted, going back to their respective sides of Millbrook into their dorms. Nick and Bubbles arrived in the common room about an hour after Herschel and Mary.
This place is really nice. And there's only, like, 5 of you? That's so cool. How did you get a dorm like this?
Just good luck. I think it was originally built for faculty, but they weren't comfortable living on campus with students and, well, waste not, want not.
It's super nice. I mean, I love living with Alray, but you guys actually have a kitchen. Plus, it's so secure and off on its own. It's like a totally different world. Ugh, now I'm so jealous.
This is just the central area. Maybe next time I'll show you what the rooms look like?
Next time?
Assuming you want to see me again.
Yeah, I totally want to see you again. What are you doing tomorrow?
Homework. But I'll call you later in the week, and we can go out again sometime.
Sounds awesome!
Bubbles suddenly realized the level of her volume and the lateness of the hour.
Tonight was really nice. Thank you for taking me out.
Thank you for being my company. And driving.
I guess I should be getting back then.
Yeah. But we'll talk soon.
Nick ran his hand lightly up her cheek and behind her ear, drawing her face close to his. The kiss caught Bubbles by surprise for a moment. Then she melted into it. They broke apart, and Nick planted a final kiss on her cheek, as if he was signing his name.
See you soon.
In this moment, Nick had accomplished something a multitude of teachers, parents, and friends had failed to accomplish. He'd rendered Bubbles speechless.
Good night.
Good night.
With that, Bubbles made her way out of the common room and into the hallway. Nick shook himself a bit, mentally. It had been a while since he'd had physical contact with a woman, and this was the first time he'd done so in his current persona.
I should have held back a bit more. This Nick shouldn't be quite so good a kisser. I'll make a note of it for next time.
Nick stood, silent, but satisfied in the empty common room. All in all, the night had gone well. The girl never stopped talking, but he had managed to stave off annoyance most of the evening. More importantly, Alice was nowhere to be seen, meaning she'd either gone to bed or was talking with Mary. Either way, she wasn't concerned with Nick, which was precisely how he wanted it. Nick opened the boys' side door and stepped in, leaving the common room empty once more. Nicholas Campbell was wrong. Alice Adair was neither asleep, nor talking with Mary, nor even in Millbrook at all. She was floating, high above the Lander campus, wearing a thick jacket, ski pants, and a face mask to protect against the cold and wind. When she was a powered, happiness had always been what sent Alice airborne. Tonight, though, she was melancholy.
Everyone's hooking up, and I'm just falling behind. Even Nick met someone. If he can get a date, it's only a matter of time until I'm alone again.
Alice stared up at the nighttime sky. It was breathtaking. The vastness of space made all the more real by the empty air beneath her. Alice knew she had to go in eventually, and she would. She'd shower to warm herself up, sleep late in the morning, then take Mary out for a girl's breakfast to hear all about her date. She'd face her slowly growing fear of solitude by strengthening the bonds with those she found herself caring for. She would tackle everything facing her.
But not right now. Not this moment.
Monday, after the freshmen finished their first 2 hours of gym, the combat class began heading toward the stairs, while the alternative class moved to the empty side of the room. This had been their pattern since the new system began, so it was a surprise when Coach George moved between himself and the doorway to the stairwell, waving the students back instead.
Not today, eager beavers. Line up with the alternative class.
The students exchanged a few confused glances. But by this point, Coach George's most important lesson, do what you're told and shut the hell up, was starting to stick. They jogged over and lined up alongside the rest of the class.
Today we'll be introducing you to a new kind of training. This one is useful to supers of all types.
Coach Persephone addressed everyone once the combat students had taken their places.
We're going to work on ranged techniques. Expect to do this about once a week.
Coach George stepped forward and took over.
Now some of you have powers that lend themselves to ranged attacks. Some of you have powers that will lend themselves to it with a little teaching. And some of you have jack shit in that department. We'll be splitting you into three-person teams based on which of these groups you fall into and placing you in one of our shooting range rooms. We won't be supervising much because your assignment is really simple. There will be targets. You will shoot targets. New targets will lower. Rinse and repeat until we come for you. Get into your teams as I call your names. Smith, Griffin, Riley.
Mary, Alex, and Adam all hustled to form a trio at the center.
Reynolds, Dixon, Wells. Campbell, Reed, Weaver.
And so it went, until all of the students had been assigned their group. After which, the coaches led them down the stairwell to a new level. This floor looked like an endless honeycomb of rooms. At each room, a team was deposited with the same instruction from Coach George.
Find the weapon that works best for you. Shoot as many targets as you can, and don't stop until we come get you. You're being watched.
Each room was stocked like a SWAT team's wet dream. All variety of pistols loaded with rubber bullets, shotguns equipped with beanbag rounds, and even weapons of more lethal force as well, from throwing knives to hatchets. As for the targets, they amounted to what seemed like a very in-depth, well-funded carnival game. These targets popped out periodically from a shifting spectrum of cardboard buildings that acted as cover. The lights would pulse when a shooting session had commenced, alternating between blinding flashes and utter darkness. There would be minute-long breaks between these periods when reloading was expected to occur. The situation, as a whole, was frustrating and left most students with a headache. But some discovered they had a talent for this new form of battle. A bolt of green energy leapt forth from Alan Wells' hand and exploded against the cardboard cutout of a shadowy villain. Small chunks of cardboard rained down where the poor target had once stood.
Ha ha! Booyah!
Not bad.
Amber Dixon stepped forward.
But still amateur hour. Watch how it's done.
She closed her eyes and raised both hands, her middle fingers pressed against her thumbs. Her lips pursed, and a low, almost undetectable whistle leaked out. Amber was still for a moment. Then she snapped her fingers on both hands. Immediately, two targets that had just barely emerged from their cover exploded into pieces. With each of Amber's snaps, a corresponding target would explode. The lights started flashing again, presumably because the system had to load more cutouts to be shot at.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Thanks.
Amber opened her eyes and glanced at the wreckage that remained from her assault.
Sorry about that, Vince. Didn't mean to hog your turn.
I think it'll be okay. I'm sure there's plenty more where that came from. I gotta ask, though. How'd you do that?
Ranged attacks are sort of my thing. I control sound waves, and they can be deadly, even over a distance.
Hang on. You're telling us you did all that with sound? I call bullshit.
When I snap my fingers, it generates a sound wave. I just amplified and focused that wave on whatever target I wanted to blow up.
Shouldn't the noise have been super loud if you were amplifying it?
Sound doesn't work that way. When we hear, that's what happens when a wave comes in contact with our eardrum. If she's sending a whole sound wave to an individual spot, then there would be no sound left to bounce back and reach us.
Very good, Vince.
I still don't think I get it.
The lights began to flash once more.
I can explain after class. Right now, it's Vince's turn to blow some shit up.
Thanks.
Vince had drained quite a few lighters earlier in the day, but he suspected that if he didn't use the electricity Coach George had required, he would be lectured about it. Up until now, he'd been absorbing from the car battery before class, then recharging it after, since powers had been off-limits during close combat. He stepped forward. Shadowy cardboard targets began to emerge and retract.
You already know how to shoot fire. Electricity can't be that different. Just aim and let it free.
Vince focused on one of the center targets and raised his right hand. Electricity cracked in his palm for a moment before a massive lightning bolt burst forth from his hand. The lightning got halfway to its target before several other bolts arced off, heading in different directions. It was exceptionally fortunate that Amber and Alan were behind him, as the lightning simultaneously struck the targets, the cardboard buildings, the walls, and nearly every instrument that moved the cutouts, arcing through their wiring and into the power grid for the room. The room was plunged into darkness, dimly lit only by the burning remains of a few cardboard husks.
Oops.